I usually try to write lessons that I expect people to at least find interesting. This morning, I really don't know if you'll find my lesson interesting at all. Usually, I figure out a few minutes into the sermon if people care about the lesson. So at least give me a good face so I can speak as though this is something that you care about. And I do hope you care about it, because even if this isn't an interesting topic to you, I hope that we can all appreciate how important of a topic this is. My lesson this morning is about helping us understand what we believe. And I want to do so in a specific way. Everything that we believe about God, everything that we believe about the church, everything that we believe about the Bible can be arranged into one of three categories. And again, I don't know if this will be interesting to you. I don't even know if this is something that all of us have thought about. But everything that you believe, at least religious things that you believe, can be organized into one of three categories: doctrines, traditions, or opinions. Doctrines, traditions, and opinions. And that's what we'll talk about this morning. I do think this is an important topic, and I believe it's very important that we understand how our beliefs fit into this model: doctrines, traditions, or opinions. There's lots of ways that we could organize our beliefs, but I think this way is especially valuable. And here's why. Doctrines. Where do doctrines come from? Doctrines come from the Bible. All doctrine comes from the Bible, but traditions and opinions, they may be based on biblical ideas, but they don't necessarily come directly from the Bible. Doctrines are essential. Traditions and opinions are not essential. Doctrines are always good. Traditions and opinions are sometimes good, but sometimes they may not be good at all. Doctrines support God's will. Traditions and opinions sometimes support God's will, but sometimes they can compete with God's will. Doctrines never change, but traditions and opinions sometimes must change. So think about all of the things that you believe about God, about Jesus, about the Bible, about the church, and imagine how all of them must fit somewhere. They're either a doctrine, an opinion, or a tradition. And in some cases, those categories overlap. If I were to draw you a big diagram, a Venn diagram with circles representing the body of doctrines, opinions, and traditions, in some cases, those things might overlap, especially traditions and opinions. They may overlap, but doctrines stand alone. So I want to begin by talking about doctrine. And I've done my best to use these terms in the same way that the Bible uses these terms. So what is doctrine? What is the doctrine? What are doctrines? The word doctrine simply means teaching. But in the context of the lesson this morning, we'll be talking about the authoritative teaching that comes from God. Now, there are some cases in the Bible where God uses the word doctrine to refer to something other than the teachings that come from God. There's the doctrine of the Pharisees, for example. And those aren't authoritative teachings. Those are teachings that came from the Pharisees. The Bible talks about doctrines of men. Well, that's not really what I'm talking about this morning when I refer to doctrine. I'm using that to refer only to the authoritative teachings that come from the Bible. And it's good to know also that doctrine in the Bible can be identified with different terms. Sometimes when God is talking about doctrine, that's the word that He uses. He refers to the doctrines of God, the doctrines of Jesus, the doctrine of the apostles. Sometimes He uses other words, not just doctrine. Sometimes it's referred to as teaching. And sometimes even, to make things a little bit confusing this morning, sometimes doctrines in the Bible are referred to as tradition. And we'll look at that in a few minutes. But it's all the same idea. Doctrines are the authoritative teachings that come from God. And again, doctrine is everything that we know to be true about God. Everything we know to be true about Jesus. What we know to be true about Jesus, about the church, and even things about this world. I think sometimes we confuse what doctrine is intended to mean. Doctrine is not a bad word. Sometimes it's not expedient to use the word doctrine when we're talking to people of other religious organizations, because to some people, doctrine is sort of the fine print in the Bible. To some people, doctrine is like a creed that a church produces. In the Bible, though, that's not what the word doctrine is intended to convey. It's not the fine print. It's not the creeds. Doctrine, again, is the authoritative teachings that come from God. And so I do think this is an important point to point out. Doctrine comes from God. It comes from the Bible. Doctrine originates with God. It was communicated by the apostles. And then, like I said, last of all, doctrine is recorded for us in the Bible. The authoritative doctrine that is binding on the church and essential in our lives comes from the Bible. And I think we really all understand this. Just as an example, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And then starting in verse 16, he talks about Scripture, including the New Testament Scriptures. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So where does doctrine come from? How do we establish doctrine? Ultimately, and I would say only, it comes from the Word of God. And this agrees with other places in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. And I think we could replace the word traditions there with doctrine, because these are the traditions that came from the apostles. Hold the traditions or doctrines which you were taught, whether by our word or our epistle. So we don't have to listen to every tradition or teaching that we hear, but those that came from the apostles, by their words or by their epistle, those we have an obligation to follow. The same idea is discussed in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2. I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions or doctrines, just as I delivered them to you. So when the apostles establish a tradition, we can accept that as doctrine, authoritative teaching that comes from God. It is very important to find and follow God's doctrine. And that's not so true of traditions and opinions. But again, we'll talk about that later. But for now, thinking of doctrine, it is very important that we find and follow the doctrine. Think about what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's another way that we can think about doctrine. Doctrine is that authoritative teaching from God, and that's what leads us into salvation. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, take heed to the doctrine. Because when you follow the doctrine, in doing this, you will save yourself and those that hear you. And then again, the same idea in 2 John verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. That's how I want you to think about doctrine this morning. The authoritative teaching that comes from God. This is the body of knowledge that we must understand that leads us into salvation. Doctrine are those things that are communicated from God by the apostles and recorded for us in the Bible. That's doctrine. Traditions and opinions are different. I'm discussing traditions and opinions as being separate things, but do keep in mind there's lots of ways that these ideas can overlap. So, what are traditions? Traditions are habits, they're customs. Sometimes traditions are just practices or guidelines that direct our activities as a person or as a church. In this congregation here, as an example, do we believe in a lot of doctrine? Well, of course we do. I mean, that's what makes this church. That's why we believe this church should even exist. That's why this church has elders. That's why this church has deacons. That's why we teach what we teach, because what we believe in terms of doctrine. But again, traditions are different. But does this church have traditions? Well, of course it does. Why do we meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings? Why do we have a Bible study on Sunday mornings and then an assembly period with an exhortation in the Lord's table? Why do we meet on Sunday night at 6 p.m.? Why do we meet on Wednesday night at 7 p.m.? Why do we do any of these things? Well, these are traditions. Are they bad traditions? No. And so, lots of things are traditions. And really, I think it's important to point out that traditions are essential. Could this church operate without traditions? Of course not. The doctrine from the Bible is that we do not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. So we could all agree that it's important that we assemble together, but we still have to have a tradition, right? We still have to agree also on when and how we're going to assemble together. And so I think that's just one example of how traditions are simply impossible to avoid. Think also about the order of our assembly. We know that we need to sing. We know that there should be reading in the assembly. We know there should be an exhortation. We know we need to be participating in the Lord's table. But does the Bible offer any guidance whatsoever on exactly how those things should be accomplished? The order of those of how those things should be accomplished? No, not at all. And it doesn't matter. But we still have to do it. And so at this congregation, we have certain traditions that guide how we operate. They're not good or bad. It's just what it is. And so do keep in mind that traditions are essential. We have to have some traditions. It'd be very confusing if we didn't have traditions. How could we, again, have the Lord's table? How could we have an assembly? How could we have marriage? Here's another example. How could we have a marriage if we didn't have some traditions relating to a traditional marriage ceremony? So traditions are essential. We have to have them. But do traditions carry the weight of doctrine? Not at all. And even think about this question. Do traditions carry any weight at all? I don't think they do. But there have been times, and there continue to be times, where we, in the simplicity of our human minds, start to treat traditions as though they are doctrine. I sort of hesitate to even mention some of these examples, but that's kind of the point of this lesson, is to make sure that we understand the difference between doctrine, traditions, and opinions, because they're not the same. Traditions aren't going to save us. Opinions aren't going to save us. Let me mention just a few traditions that I accept as tradition. And we may care a lot about tradition. But it doesn't matter how much we care about tradition, it doesn't make them doctrine. Let me give an example. So think about the attire for the assembly. What is our tradition here at Riverside Road? Everyone tends to dress a little bit nicer on Sunday mornings and a little bit more casual on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. That is a tradition. You cannot prove from the Bible. Now, I guess there might be someone who disagrees with me, but I don't think you can prove from the Bible that God really cares what you wear to church, other than the fact that we're dressed modestly, we're not dressed in a way that's a distraction to someone else. That's just purely a tradition. And there might be good reasons for a tradition like that. I kind of like the tradition that I dress up on Sunday mornings. It puts my mind in the right place. It helps me to remember that this is a serious event coming to meet on the Lord's Day. So I appreciate that tradition, but it is a tradition. It's not a doctrine. It's not something that God binds on us. And so it's not something that we should be needlessly concerned about. There's been a lot of people who have argued over topics like this, over traditions, human traditions, things that come from the human mind and not the mind of God. Think about other traditions that we have that maybe aren't so controversial, but they still exist. Think about our posture when we pray. Who was it that decided that we would drop our heads and fold our hands? Well, by and large, that's a tradition. When we read the Bible, there's lots of postures that people had when they pray. Sometimes people would lay flat on the ground. Sometimes they would get on their knees. Sometimes they would close their eyes, but sometimes they would open their eyes. Sometimes they'd put their hands up towards heaven. Sometimes we have no idea what they were doing with their hands. And so we have these traditions that sort of regulate what we do. It's so important that we keep in mind that traditions are traditions. They're not doctrine. They're not binding. And so it really shouldn't bother us that much when traditions have to change. I think it's also interesting to think about how we sit in the assembly here today. I was at a church one time, and there was a lady that sat about three rows back from the front on this side of the building right here. It wasn't here at Riverside Road. But there were some visitors that came in and sat in her seat. That was her tradition. It was her seat. And when some visitors came in and were in her seat, she walked up to them and asked them to move and get out of her seat. I think that's a really good example of how we can start to care way too much about tradition. I've also been at churches before where the man who called on a person to pray didn't ask everyone to stand up. And it was the tradition at this church that for every prayer you stood up, period. And there was a woman, it may have been the same woman, the same church, I don't remember. Nobody else in the building was standing, but she stood up for that prayer. Because for whatever reason, she believed that that's what you do. And I don't know if she actually, I don't know how much she cared about it, but tradition meant so much to her that she couldn't escape it. It is very important that we recognize tradition for what it is. I almost wore jeans and a t-shirt today to give my lesson, but I decided not to because I was a little bit concerned that there might be somebody here that cared so much about what I was wearing that you wouldn't listen to what I would say. All right? And so there are times where you should go ahead and follow the tradition just so you're not offensive to people. Now that I've given this sermon, I might give a sermon in jeans and a t-shirt next time just to see who's offended. So traditions are essential, but traditions should not be treated like doctrine. I want to read to you a passage where Jesus addresses tradition. And I want you to notice how important it is to Jesus that we don't confuse our tradition with God's doctrine. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we'll start. Matthew chapter 15, we'll start in verse 1. We've read this passage 100 times, but I want you to read it with this mindset. How important is it to God that we understand the difference between human traditions and God's doctrines? Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash the hands when they eat bread." There was no command in the Old Testament that you had to wash your hands before you ate bread, but this was their tradition. And obviously, it mattered a lot to these people. Why do they transgress the traditions of the elders when they do not wash their hands before they eat bread? And then we'll skip forward to verse 7. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments or traditions of men." And then continuing in verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth which defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man." They were so concerned with keeping their hands clean and ensuring that the food that went into their mouth was clean that they didn't even understand that it's not what you eat that makes you sin, it's what comes out of your mouth that makes you sin. Another example of this is in Mark chapter 7. This is really the same conversation, but it's a separate point that Jesus is making. It's another tradition that had become so prevalent, so well accepted, that it had evolved into a doctrine. And the Jews could no longer distinguish between tradition and doctrine. This is Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 9. And he said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions." They'd actually got to a point where they were replacing doctrine with tradition. Verse 10, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say in your tradition, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God, I then no longer let him do anything for his father or mother.' Verse 13, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. And so I think this brings up a very important question. We have traditions here, and I'm not just thinking about the church at Riverside Road. I'm thinking of churches everywhere. I'm even thinking of our own lives. We have traditions. But do we understand where doctrine ends and where the traditions begins? I think it's very important that we accept those differences. We can feel very strongly about something, and we may have certain traditions for very good reasons. But tradition is still not the same as doctrine. And when we lose that distinction, we can get into a situation that the Jews were in, where tradition becomes so important that it starts to supplant and replace the doctrines that come from God. I think something else on this is also very important. This is like one of the most important things I wanted to say, and now I can't find it in my notes. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 13, I think is the verse I'm thinking of. Well, I can't find that passage right now. Someone, if you would, this will be an important passage to read later, where Jesus quotes, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. That's a quotation from Isaiah, and I'd like to read it from Isaiah. So somebody, if you would, take a second to find where that is in Isaiah. So traditions can start to compete with the Word of God. And even if traditions aren't competing with the Word of God or replacing the Word of God, traditions can sometimes just be a really dangerous distraction. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is here in another place talking about tradition. And notice just how much of a distraction tradition becomes. Did someone find that passage, by the way? 29 and 13. Let's read Isaiah 29:13. I'm really sorry to have to do it this way, but I want us to read this. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. So this is the passage that Jesus is actually quoting. He quotes it from the Septuagint, and the Old Testament is actually the Masoretic text. So it reads a little bit differently, and the idea, I think, is very important. So this is what Jesus quotes, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. And this is where it's a little different. And their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. I think that's a very interesting idea. The people of Israel learned to fear God, but how was it that they learned to fear God? Was it by God's doctrine? No, it wasn't. It was by these commandments of men, by these traditions. And I think the Pharisees are a perfect example of this. Sure, they had a fear of God, but their fear of God was rooted in their own traditions, their own extensions of God's doctrine. And that's not really the fear of God. It's very important that our respect for God, that our fear of God, is grounded in what we read in the Bible, not our own traditions. And I think part of the reason that this is so important, and I think I've said this already, is as valuable as traditions can be sometimes, traditions are not going to save anyone. Even if we like them, even if we think they're a very good idea, traditions won't save anyone. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says this very idea. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers. You will not be redeemed by these things. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Traditions will not save us. They won't save anyone. It's the doctrines. It's those essential teachings of Jesus conveyed to us through His apostles and recorded in the Bible. That's where we find the essential truths. If we don't find it there, it's not an essential truth. So we've talked about doctrine. We've talked about opinion, traditions. I think it's good now to talk about opinions and how they fit into this whole picture. Keep in mind that traditions and opinions sometimes overlap. But they don't always overlap. In a religious context, traditions are usually extrapolations, speculations, or extensions of biblical principles. And I think the idea that they are sometimes extensions of biblical principles might be the best way to think about opinions. So I'll give you a personal example. I think it's good for all of us to think about this, and I'll give you my own example. I've talked about this here before, and if I talked about it again, I would address it differently. So I have lots of opinions on biblical issues. So we can look at the Bible, and we can find doctrines, and we have to take those doctrines, and in some cases, we have to generate opinions on them. So one doctrine that you find in the Bible is that men and women should dress modestly. Well, the Bible doesn't give specific parameters on that, and so we have to develop our own opinions on it. And so I have an opinion, and you have an opinion, but it's still important that all of us accept that our opinions are our opinions. They're not doctrines. They're not binding in the same way that doctrines could be. And so just like traditions, opinions are not doctrine and have no authority in the church at all. But just like tradition, opinions are essential. We have no choice but to have opinions. It would be impossible to be a Christian without having opinions. And here, let me give you what I mean by that. The reality is that God gives us the essential facts in the form of doctrines, but in order for us to live, we have to make extensions on those things. Because the Bible doesn't address every single situation that we might possibly face. We don't have to vote, but we choose to vote. Well, how do you choose to vote? You may do so based on biblical ideas, but in the end, it's an opinion. We know that God expects us to educate our children, right? How we choose to do so is not a doctrine. It's purely an opinion. It might be an opinion based on biblical ideas, but in the end, it is an opinion. I've heard some people teach as though homeschooling is a doctrine that comes from the Bible. I've heard other people teach as though public schooling is some kind of doctrine that comes from the Bible. Well, none of those things are true. The doctrine that comes from the Bible is that parents have an obligation to teach their children. Anything other than that is an opinion. It may be based on biblical ideas, and it may be a good idea, but it's still an opinion. We have to make a lot of decisions on a lot of things that may not come directly from the Bible. And so what does God want us to do in those situations? Well, He wants us to have an opinion. Think about what He says in Romans 14 concerning the celebration of religious holidays. He says, one person esteems one day above another. Another person esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. You have no choice but to have an opinion on some things. But keep in mind, my opinion is my opinion, your opinion is your opinion, and that's okay. There is a place for opinions. Opinions are inevitable. We can talk about them, but there should never be division in the church over opinions. Opinions should never cause us to think less of our brothers and sisters. This is exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over, he says, doubtful things. Another word for that is opinions. Receive a person who you think is weaker than you, who maybe doesn't have your understanding of the Bible, but don't do so just so we can debate about our opinions. Opinions are essential, but just like traditions, opinions can be very dangerous when they start to compete with the Word of God. I think this is exactly what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 11. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. He's talking about the Jews and Gentiles and their place in the kingdom. I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Isn't that interesting? God gives us doctrine so we don't have to depend on our own opinion. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. This is a reality that I've had to come to terms with. I sort of feel like it's a little childish that it took me this long to figure it out. But I have opinions on things, just like all of us here have opinions on things. But my opinions are not doctrine. My opinions matter to me. They may not matter to you at all. And even if I am fully convinced in my own mind that my opinion is right and your opinion is wrong, that shouldn't change the relationship that we have with each other. And that certainly shouldn't cause you to think less of me. It shouldn't cause me to think less of you. And that's really what this lesson is about. Doctrines are what bring us together. Doctrines may be what separate us. None of those things should be true of traditions and opinion. So in conclusion, I want to say some of the things I've already said in this lesson. I said it at the beginning, but I want to say it again to validate this whole discussion. Why is it important for us to see the difference between traditions, opinions, and doctrines? Remember that doctrines come from the Bible. Traditions and opinions may be based on biblical ideas, but they do not come directly from the Bible. If it did come directly from the Bible, it would be a doctrine. Doctrines are essential. Traditions and opinions rarely are essential. Doctrines are always good. Traditions and opinions are sometimes good, but they're sometimes quite destructive. Doctrines support God's will. Traditions and opinions sometimes support God's will, but sometimes they compete with God's will. Doctrine never changes, but traditions and opinions sometimes must change. Doctrines, traditions, and opinions are going to sometimes overlap in various areas, but in the end, it's the doctrines that carry weight. Traditions are essential, but they should never be respected in the same way that we respect the Word of God. Opinions also will sometimes be necessary, but once again, they should never be respected in the same way that we respect the Word of God. I really hope that was a valuable lesson to you. It has been a very valuable lesson to me. Understanding the difference between these three things, I feel like really changes our perspective of God and our perspective of our brethren. This morning, if there's any need that we can help you with, we want to offer that invitation to you as we stand and sing.